Hello, you're listening to Talking Practice Efficiency, a mini podcast series. I'm Kat Bond and I head up Partner Consulting and Success here at Xero. The question of whether or not digital technologies improve productivity is a hot topic at the moment. But the great news in accountancy and bookkeeping is that they absolutely do. And there are plenty of stories to prove it. Claire Davies from PJA Chartered Accountants in Lampeter, Wales is just one person whose organisation has benefited from a journey of digital transformation, and they're now specialists in online accounting. He spoke to Ian Phillips, Xero's Head of Partner Sales, at this year's Bristol Roadshow about this journey and why it's been a game changer for both profitability but also client service.
Well, thank you for joining us, Claire. I think that there's probably a bunch of people in this room who have started their practice almost from scratch and have got almost 100% digital firm. I think your journey's particularly interesting because actually you didn't. You had a whole kind of historic client base to convert. So perhaps we could start off talking a little bit about that kind of journey of digital transformation at PJE, but also about your personal journey, because that's interesting as well.
Yeah, I think that both things have sort of moved at a similar trajectory, really. When I started at the firm, we were using Xero, but it was in a more basic sense. We were using Xero for certain VAT prep jobs, and a handful of bookkeeping clients used the Xero product themselves. So they would pay for the license themselves, we'd have access, but it was very much us holding their hand with the bookkeeping that they were doing. So when I started at the firm, I had the responsibility for bookkeeping and VAT prep, and it was something that we just didn't really make money on. So I was talking to you earlier about this. I just spoke to another member of staff. We've just made an acquisition of another firm locally, and they said more or less the same thing to me, which is that we don't make money when it comes to bookkeeping VAT work, because we make money at the end of the year with the accounts work. So I decided that needed a change first. You know, we need to make money in everything that we do, but we also need to look at improving client experience at the same time. Making tax digital was also coming for VAT, so we decided to expand the use of Xero to all VAT and bookkeeping clients. I think it was at a XeroCon as well, actually, HubDoc was launched. We started with two or three HubDoc licenses and started off quite small in that respect. We quite quickly realized that the automation tools that were available to us could make a massive difference to the way that the bookkeeping and VAT work could be completed, and we could actually probably start to make a bit of money on it. So we moved from HubDoc to use Receipt Bank at the time, Dex now, just to scale up the automation first. Once we'd done that and we really had a handle on the VAT and the bookkeeping preparation work, we then looked at other ancillary products that work with Xero to kind of improve that front-end process, things like payment services. With regards to the client side of things, we've spoken about point of sale, inventory management, things like Xero projects, Xero expenses, letting smaller clients take control of their payroll with Xero payroll as well. So kind of combining the two things, making a profitable bookkeeping practice and increasing client experience and what they could get out of Xero as well, because I think a lot of clients use Xero purely saw it as a compliance tool, but there's another aspect to look at as well. And if you're the catalyst in changing the client's view on that, from it being purely a compliance tool to a business management tool and something that can help them succeed, then I think that's quite powerful as well. So we started off with that front-end side of things. We looked at client experience with regards to getting the information into the bookkeeping software and also the automation for us internally. But we got to a point then where we had almost two different accounts production processes. One where we had this brilliant level of information because people use Xero. And then your kind of traditional shoebox type client, they bring everything in a shoebox. And the accounts preparation process was completely different for both sort of cohorts of clients. So we took a bit of a leap of faith and we got rid of the old accounts production tools and we decided to start doing accounts preparations, you know, as well. That gets rid of a certain amount of duplication of work because you're not taking something out of Xero to put into something else for the accounts prep. But also the quality of the information that we had in the accounts that we could give to the client made a massive difference to that kind of client experience. When it comes to an accounts meeting or the ability to give client a little bit more insight into their figures, the change to doing the accounts work in Xero end to end, rather than just looking at it as two different things, the bookkeeping and the accounts prep, that made a huge difference to our ability to increase the level of client service, but also to save time, increase our efficiencies, and you know, our productivity has gone through the roof. The difference between now and back in sort of 2018 when we started on this journey is absolutely huge. And I think at one point there were some staff, don't get me wrong, there are pain points, and it was a big change for us. There were some staff, partly due to COVID as well, that left or retired, and we went from a team I think of 16 down to 11 and I think 10 at one stage, and we were still servicing the same number of clients, and actually we were growing a little bit. So staff members were kind of going naturally. People retire, people move, people go to different jobs, but we were still servicing all these clients, probably at a higher level than we had been before. So it's made a huge difference.
That bit's super interesting. Actually, there's a few things that you said there that I'd be keen to unpack a little bit, but I do think, you know, we're not going to do a show of hands, but I think there's probably a load of people in this room that would say they're struggling to hire at the moment, or certainly have been in the last few years. And I guess there's a question there, right, which is, do you have a problem when it comes to attracting talent into your business, or do you have a systems and processes problem in terms of the efficiency within your firm?
Yeah. I mean, there's a question over whether you need to hire at all. That's the big thing. Like I said, we've gone through a little bit of pain. One example I've got, I suppose, is we made another acquisition earlier on in the year. And all the accounts preparation work that they've done thus far has included a migration of sorts into Xero. So we didn't see any initial gains in their output and their productivity, but we've done all the migration work as well. My colleague Heidi, she's just done her first set of interim accounts 6 months into the year. This is the first job that she's done without having to go through the pain of a migration process. And she's just looked at me and she smiled and, you know, she's just kind of said, okay, fine, I believe you now, sort of thing. So what the team has been able to produce over the last couple of months, almost supercharged with the tools that we've given them since taking over, has been...
And how have you managed that, particularly where you're acquiring new firms and you're getting new staff and you've got kind of one set of staff on one way of working, one set on another? And I'm kind of always fascinated with this concept of critical mass, right? You things probably get harder before they get easier, and you've got to push through until you get to that point of critical mass where you start to see the benefits. How have you got staff on the bus?
Good question. Look, we've been lucky with the staff that we've got, to be fair. I don't want to take too much credit for the work that they've done. But I kind of feel like this got to almost be an ideology. You've got to have faith in the process because you won't see results immediately. Like I said, there's a migration to be done. No, I'm not going to bore anybody with the details. I'm sure there's plenty of people going through those kind of pain points when they make the transition to Xero. But like I said, I think you've just got to have confidence in it. And I think that a unified process for everybody in the firm to follow, it brings its own efficiencies. It doesn't actually matter what that specific process is. If you get everybody singing from the same hymn sheet, that people can help each other out. And you can identify problems with the process as a firm because everybody's following the same rule book, if you want. So you can identify the process and change it again for everybody at the same time. And I think by doing that, you fine-tune your process. It's a lot easier to do that then.
And I was going to ask you a bit about this kind of concept of practice efficiency, how that links to performance. And I guess, you know, I'd be interested, first of all, to hear a little bit about connected workflows within PJE. I know that you're using Zero Tax, for example, but I think you're also using other tools. And I'm sure that the people in this room would be interested to hear what your kind of technology stack looks like.
Yep.
But I guess you started off by talking about some of the inefficiencies at the front end of the bookkeeping process.
Yep.
You also kind of alluded to the fact that actually, like, where this really kind of starts to bite is where the client gets involved. And I'd love to hear, like, how you see that link between almost efficiency, because that could be quite an insular concept, right? Like, we're just going to make more money.
Yep. Yep.
And the service that you're able to deliver back to the client.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have the opportunity to provide the added value services to the client unless the efficiency is there. So you've got to break it down, I think, into, like I said, the front-end processes. Let's get the information in nice and smoothly, quickly, efficiently. And let's give ourselves more time to do some critical thinking about this work. You know, we all know it's like you've got a budget to hit. You know, this is a £1,500 accounts job. I've got a certain amount of time to do it. If you can improve your efficiencies and give yourself a few hours extra to do some critical thinking, look after the client, give them a phone call, have a proper accounts review meeting with them, to be able to provide insights to them, I think that's very powerful. Because if you have really high quality data that you've been able to get together quickly and efficiently, when the client starts to ask some questions, or if they don't quite understand the data, A, you've got the high quality level of information, and B, you've got time to run through it with them. And you're going to build trust with the client. They're going to trust you. Your relationship will improve. They're more likely to be happy to spend a bit of money on some advisory services. We've got to think of this from running a business perspective as well, not just from a case of let's get the compliance work done. Because clients don't want to pay for compliance work. They want to pay for advisory stuff. How can you help me make a bit more money? How can I pay a little bit less tax, perhaps? There's a lot of that in our part of the world. But you have to have a platform first. And the efficiency has to be there first, and the increased productivity has to be there in order to enable you to do the touchy-feely added value step on top.
I guess it's about getting away from that mindset that that clients are paying you for your time rather than outputs.
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about implementing Zero Tax and how that fitted into your workflow and some of the other tools that you're using in the practice to drive that efficiency.
I'm sure that everybody's, I think the uptake of things like tax and the automation work, I think perhaps there's more people in this room that are using that type of ancillary product. But Zero Tax, I mean, again, like I said, with the accounts production, before we made this change, there were a lot of manual processes, and that's more of an old-fashioned view where the accounts prep is done in one place, and then the statutory submissions are almost a completely separate process. But Zero Tax pulls everything straight from Blue Zero. And, you know, if you need to make a change, you flick onto your other tab that's open or your other screen, you make the change in Zero, you pull it back into Zero Tax. We had access quite early, as it happens, to Zero Tax, and we had our little hiccups with it because I think we were early testers, but we did what we needed to do, we fed it back. And now the process of just running the information through Zero Tax and getting your CT600 in your statutory submission, I'm talking about corporate tax here. It's so quick, so simple. And I just think that's one of those things that would have taken such a long time before. You add that up across 1,500 clients in the year, and it's a big chunk of time. And it's easy, it's intuitive, everything speaks to each other. I think keeping everything within the Zero ecosystem is very powerful.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the fundamental concepts around the move to cloud is that bookkeeping and compliance do not have to be disparate workflows anymore, right? And we're almost out of time. Just one final question for you, Claire, if I may. And this session is about high performance. I'd love to hear from you. How has building that platform contributed to your definition of high performance in PGA?
I think the high performance has to be, for me, about the added value services and the quality of the service to the client. So, you know, advisory services, not compliant work, not bucket and spade work. It's not about making lots of money, like you said. It's about that higher level of client service and client experience. You have to start with the bucket and spade work first, which we've done with Xero at the heart of everything we do. We've made huge gains with regards to efficiency, and that's what's given us the platform to increase the quality of our service. And that's what I think the high performance is, the added value stuff.
Super. Well, sadly, we're out of time. I feel like we probably could have talked about this all day, but other people need to come to the stage and talk. But thanks so much, Claire, for being part of the show today. It was amazing to hear about your journey, but also the journey that the firm has been on. So we'll let you disappear and enjoy the rest of the show. And I'm sure everyone's going to give you a big round of applause.
You've been listening to Talking Practice Efficiency. Listen next time as we hear from Adam Pritchard of Linford Gray. He'll explain how Xero was key to success for his firm. See you then.